Now, Sautola had visited Paris some years before and seen some examples of Cro-Magnon carvings and engravings on antler. And he was struck by the similarity between these carvings and the bison on the walls of Altamira. He announced that he had found prehistoric art made by the Cro-Magnons. The experts scoffed at him. They accused him of forging the bison paintings, which he claimed to be the work of Stone Age artists. Until the day of his death, Sautolo believed that this was prehistoric art. Nobody else did. People even accused him of having brought modern artists into Altamira to paint the paintings. And then, in 1904, Sautolo was vindicated when some paintings very similar to those from Altamira came from a cave which had been sealed since the last ice age, a cave called La Mutte, close to Les Aisies in southwestern France. This time, the experts were convinced that there was an artistic tradition on cave walls, with many of the motifs appearing again on mobile art, on pieces of antler and bone, and on weapons and tools created by the Cro-Magnons. Since then, Cro-Magnon art has been recognized as among the earliest art traditions in the world. Which brings up the question of questions. Why, suddenly, did humans start painting and engraving? This clearly is connected with the development of the cognitive fluidity of modern humans, the ability to take an idea and then transform it into an image. At first, the experts thought this art was just people having an artistic revelation, having a desire to create. And you walk into a cave and say, ah, today I will create some bison which I saw outside. But increasingly, people have realized that this was not so, that this art had a vital symbolic meaning, with, as it were, a code. And this code was a sort of bridge between the living and the spiritual worlds, that the Cro-Magnons lived in a living, dynamic world of hunting and planting and changing climates and so on, but always they were surrounded by this inchoate spiritual world of forces which they didn't understand, which affected the continuity of human existence. And the art, maybe, was some way to bridge from the living to the spiritual. This is a lot of modern thinking, but vigorous controversy, as we see, surrounds the interpretation of Cro-Magnon art. Before looking at these interpretations, we really need to take a look at the art itself. In general terms, Cro-Magnon art comes in two broad forms. It comes as what the experts call mobile art, in the shape of elaborately decorated artifacts, many of them obviously of ceremonial use, such as spear throwers beautifully made, harpoons, just sticks of antler engraved with bison and horses and other animals. But it also comes as immobile art, as what is called cave art, engravings and paintings. Clearly the paintings are the most spectacular, but the engravings, many of them, show an astonishing knowledge of animals and a great surety of touch, which is the characteristic of truly gifted artists. It is no exaggeration to say that the Cro-Magnons were brilliant artists in stone, in antler, bone, clay, ivory, and probably in wood, the latter having not survived. In one cave in France, there were even clay sculptures of bison a quarter of a mile from daylight, deep, deep in a dark chamber. At this point, some 10,000 sculpted and engraved objects have come from late Ice Age sites all over Europe and deep into Eurasia and Siberia. This surely is only a teeny fragment of the art that was once used and cherished and produced. This was a very rich culture, stylistically and spiritually.